We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
Today we're gonna talk about this, and that is get to your point. Whether you've been in a church service or you've just had general conversations, if you ever had somebody begin to tell you a story and the only thing you wanted them to do was just get to the point. And what happens is we have some friends of ours that come over to our house, and the husband will start telling a story, and it'll go something like this. He's like, "You're not going to believe the wreck I saw on the interstate today. Well, I was on my way to get chicken, and not the regular kind, but the crispy, because the crispy is the best from Kentucky Fried Chicken. The crispier, the better. But anyway, so I got in my car. I was driving the Nissan, the older Nissan, the gray one. You know what I'm talking? It needs tires. Do you know anybody who sells tires? Because it could use a set of tires. So anyway, so I was on my way. So we were going to get chicken, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we were in the Nissan. And so what happened was we got up on 40, and we were going eastbound. And so we got on 40, and we were going eastbound. And my wife had on this dress. It was a blue dress, and it's the one with the gold buttons down the front. And it looks really good. She got it from her mama. Have you ever met her mom? Her mom's the little short lady. She's blunt. Are you tracking with me? And about 15 minutes into his story, whether I mean to or not. Now, see, sometimes the Lord gives you a spirit of patience, and sometimes he gives you the spirit of let's move it along. And I'll catch myself doing this. He'll go, "And you know the blue dress?" I'm like, "Uh-huh. So what were you saying about the wreck?" "Oh, what I was going to say, that's right. What I was going to say was..." And I look at him, and finally, and I love the guy. We're a lot like brothers in a lot of ways. And sometimes I look at him, I go, "Brother, shh, just get to the point. Just, I love you. I mean that with all my heart. Like Jesus loves you. But get to the point." And I sat talking to this guy this week, and as I sat there, the Lord began to echo in my heart something out of Romans chapter 12. And it goes like this, and I'm not going to go to the scripture immediately, but I want you to understand something, is that a lot of us as Christians live our life the very same way that my friend tells his story. There's a point to your life. There's a reason that the Lord created you. And I know I just kind of went from a real light story to a real deep statement. But you need to understand that you weren't created for nothing. You were created for something. I've used this analogy with my leadership team a lot. Everything that was ever created in the world was created for a purpose. I can pick up a little square piece of plastic. You would not believe what our guitarists spend for these. But it was created with a purpose. Can you imagine that one day somebody created a spoon and they were sitting there eating their soup, but then they went to eat their spaghetti and they thought, "You know what? This stuff would stick on here a lot better if I just cut slots in my spoon." Or maybe it worked the other way. Maybe they started out eating spaghetti and then they said, "You know what? This would work a whole lot better with my soup if there weren't all these holes in it." Everything that's around you is created with a point. There's a purpose to it. Now, here's the thing. A lot of us live our lives kind of like my friend tells his story. We live it knowing that there's all this destiny and all this purpose on it, but we never become focused enough to really live out what we were created for. And as we go into Christmas, man, you're going to have an opportunity to spend all kinds of time with friends and all kinds of time with family. We'll pray for you about spending time with your family. But maybe yours is different. But here's the thing. You're going to have an opportunity to live out a whole lot of point of your life. But the real question is will you? See, you can have all the potential wound up in you. You can have all this God-given potential, but if you don't begin to put it in motion, it's only potential energy. It's never kinetic energy. Take you back to seventh grade science. Some of y'all are excited, some of you are scared. Because you slept through. Anyway, potential energy is the rock at the top of the boulder. And all it's doing is waiting on one good shove to begin to roll downhill and begin to pick up speed. And as it picks up speed, it picks up what's called kinetic energy. It picks up mass and volume and speed, right? And the minute that that boulder crashes into something, it's going to create change. Your life was created to create change in the world around you. But some of us stay stuck at the top of the mountain all of our life. All this potential built into us, but we never apply the catalyst to put it in motion to create real change that God created us for. I have an opportunity as a pastor to spend a lot of time with people as they sit on their deathbed. And you'll be surprised. It's the thing that we spent most of our life chasing: money, promotions, resource, that kind of thing, are never the things that they want to talk about. What they always want to talk about is wasted time, a squandered life. See, I believe this. I believe that while the most important decision you'll ever make is the decision whether to or not to follow Christ, that's not where your story should end as a believer. As a person, that's not where your story should end. It should really be the catalyst that starts your life in a specific path. Romans 12, 3 through 13 says this. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say unto every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather in sober judgment." Have you ever noticed that sometimes you look at yourself, especially us Christians? Now, if you're a non-believer today, I'm going to give you a little bit of a pass. I'm just going to speak to those of us who are Christ followers. That sometimes we sit and we think about what we do a little bit higher than we should. Like this. Like I always, the scripture teaches us that after the return of Christ, we will go to what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? So we're sitting with all these believers. With my luck, I'm going to get stuck sitting back here with the Apostle Paul. Right? And my hopes is this, because I'm a bit of a conversationalist. Now, Paul, tell me a little bit about what you did. And Paul will look at me, and undoubtedly, and he's going to go, "Hey, dude, didn't I leave you some books of the Bible? You could read what I did. I mean, I left you notes about shipwrecks and about beatings and about," right? I mean, Paul was beat 3 or 4 times. Matter of fact, I was reading in Acts when the Christians were beaten, and it said this. It said, "And they left their beating and were excited because they had suffered for the cause of Christ." 2 days ago, I was complaining because I couldn't get the extended cable package. I thought I was suffering for the Lord because I couldn't go biggie with my biggie size. You know what I'm talking about? And here these people are getting whipped and beaten, and they're excited about it. And I thought this, what happens when Paul looks at me and he says, "You know what, Adam, you've had an opportunity to read my story. Now tell me yours. Well, you see, what happened, Paul, can you pass the bread over there first? Give me a chance, because I can't lie in heaven. I think it's kind of a disqualifier." So I come to this to say this, that sometimes this doesn't mean not just a haughty attitude, because we know that a haughty attitude, brings our own destruction. We know that those things exist. But what if it's a little bit deeper than that? What if we think we're really doing something for God when, if we look at ourselves soberly, that maybe there's a whole lot more that God really wants to do in us, that there's all this potential? He goes on and he says this. He said, "In accordance with faith in God that he's distributed to each of you." He said, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function." He said, I'm about to teach you a story. Look down at yourself. He said, look at your own body. Now, for some of us, that's exciting. For others of us, just saying, there's a 40 mark in my life where I just want to look in the mirror with the light off. I'm just saying that he said, but you know what? He said, you've got all these different functions of your body. He said, they're all different. See, what a lot of us as Christians do is we look at somebody else's life and we want to begin to compare our life to them and run their race instead of our race. We judge our success or our failure based on what somebody else did. I had an opportunity to watch Casey Michael's son, Jasper, Tracy did most of it. I just stood there and looked, but I played with him a little bit, and Casey came over, and she said, yeah. I said, well, how old is he? And she told me, and she said, we've got a friend of ours who has a child just 4 or 5 months older, and he's doing this. And I looked at her and said, I'm going to teach you something as a parent. Don't ever compare your kid to anybody else's kid, because they're not the same. Let your kid, let your son be your son. And if you have another son, let it be your other son. Don't try to make it the same. So your brother, they're not the same. It's not the same race. Here's the thing. We do the same thing in Christianity. We go, well, my friend is doing blank. Or I see God doing this and that. But that may be their race to run. My question to you this morning is as you get to your point, what is your point, not somebody else's point? He goes on and he says this. He said, so in Christ, verse 5, he said, so in Christ, though we have many, we form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. As we have different gifts, according to the gift of grace given unto us, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy. In accordance with your faith, if it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's to give, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do so diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know what I love about Paul's writing here? Really, it's God speaking through Paul. Paul said this. He said, you need to figure out what you do. What is your gift? I have people, you may or may not like this a whole lot, but it's okay. But I have people a lot of times. Joel Osteen is a gentleman who's come under a lot of fire here of late. People want to say different things about him, and my thing is touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Man, if he's not against us, he's for us. Does that make sense? But I'm going to say this. If you're depressed, he's a great guy to listen to. Does that make sense? I mean, if nothing else, the dude will grin you into smiling. He's got a gift for encouraging people in the faith. Does this make sense? Now, you can go to the other side of the aisle. Man, T.D. Jakes has a way of just speaking blunt truth right in your face. Now, I'll be honest with you. He's probably not the guy you want to go to if you're down. Because T.D. Jakes, in his deep voice, that only T.D. Jakes, I sound more like a dinosaur than T.D. Jakes, but it's okay. He's going to look at you, and if you've read his new book, Soar, he's going to look at you and go, boy, you need to get up off the ground, and you just need to make it happen. Does this make sense? The Lord didn't give us chairs, he gave us trees, right? They're two different gifts, and you need them in two different seasons. Sometimes you need the kick and the keister. The other times, you need the grin and the word of encouragement, but both are valuable gifts. Now, here's the thing. What does the Lord put inside of you that everybody else inside of your circle needs? You know that when Jesus told his disciples to get to the point, right before the ascension, Jesus makes a statement, and he says this. He said, I want you to go into all the world preaching and teaching the gospel. Now, that's the English translation. If you go back to the original church text, it says this, that as you go through your world, I want you to preach and teach the gospel. He's saying this. He said that I want you to go through the world that I created you to live in, and I want you to tell people what I've done for you. See, the first thing that people want to say is when they're trying to get to the point of their life, and their point of their life is to share the gospel. Some people, we have HVAC people, and we have professionals, and we have managers, and we have salespeople, and we have, I mean, if you look at our block of careers in here, man, they run from pipe fitters to HR managers. Totally different backgrounds. One guy's hand-on and one guy sits in an office. One guy's a contractor and the other guy's a facilities manager. And one lady runs a department or an organization and one person works inside. Does this make sense? There are all these different functions. But that's what you do. That's not your purpose in life. As we get older in life, one of the things that we hear is, you know, I don't have a purpose to live anymore. As folks begin to retire, as they begin to go into later seasons of their life, they feel like they they've lost their purpose. Here's what I'm committed to believe. I'm committed to believe that the Lord puts me in contact with people all the time. And it's my job to speak life and truth into them. It's like this. As seniors, my dad called me the other day and he said, son, he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, I'm doing some stuff and these crazy people want me to go to the doctor every 2 weeks. And I'm just not going to do it. Can I get a witness? Anybody else's parents live in that world? I ain't going every 2 weeks. I may die, but I'll prove them wrong. You're right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't matter. But can I ask you a question? Did you ever think that maybe instead of you being sent to the doctor, maybe you're sent for the doctor? If the footsteps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord, who really needs who? I mean, I could drop the mic on that one for real. I walked into a doctor one time and he looked at me and said, man, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm pretty sure you got cancer. And I said, well, I'm sure I don't. He said, no, let me tell you. He said, oh, we've done this. And it was just a couple of days and we need to get the report back. And I looked at him. I said, well, doc, I appreciate it. And you're probably the best doctor I'm ever going to find. And I want you to know I don't mean this with any disrespect. But the Lord said that by his stripes I was, before you ever walked in here and started talking to me, healed and made whole. So I reckon either you or God, one has to be wrong. I don't think it's him. You call me in a couple days and we'll talk. I went home and my 3-day test ended up taking 10 days. Now, I've known this doctor for a long time, and he was so excited about my results that he would not call me himself. He made his secretary, his nurse, call me. She called, Mr. Bellamy, is this you? And I said, yeah, how does this is so-and-so from Dr. So-and-so's office? I said, where's he at? Well, he wanted me to call you. I said, well, it's okay. God already told me I'm healed. What'd you got to say about it? She said, well, all your tests came back negative. I said, where's he at? Well, he wanted me to call you. I said, well, tell him I'd have waited. It took him 10 days to get me the results already. I'd have waited another 20, 30 minutes on him. She said, well, he's really busy. I said, no, he's not. You tell doctor, and I used his name. He was afraid to talk to me because he didn't believe. So the next time I went in to see him, I got up on that white crinkly paper. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I did the wait. Except this time, instead of waiting for him to walk in, I was ready to pounce like in a Jesus kind of way. You know what I'm talking about? And he walked in the door and he did the two knocks. They teach you that in school. It's a whole class. And he walked in. He said, Mr. Bellman, said, hey, doc. And I'm grinning like I stole something. He said, well, let's go over your test results. I said, hey, let me talk about that for a minute. Why didn't you call me? He said, I was real busy. I said, you ain't never been that busy before. I said, or could it be that we had a theological difference and you lost? And if you choose to accept that, it's going to cause you to question a lot of your lifestyle choices. You know what his answer was? We're not going to talk about that right now. Now, I say that not to be, but here's the thing. Sometimes you didn't get sent to the doctor, you got sent for the doctor. Does that make sense? Sometimes you're not working in a hellish environment because God doesn't love you, but rather because he loves them, and you don't put a light under a bushel. You don't just put a bunch of lights together. You always put light in a dark place. Does this make sense? What is your gift? Have you ever thought that maybe the situations that you're praying that the Lord will deliver you from are the ones he's praying that you'll accept going to? Because you've got all the energy to walk into it, speak to it, and change it. Well, you've got to understand, though, that going home for Christmas, there's just all this negativity. There's all this family drama. If you don't amen nothing else I say, I know some of you people. It's right. But could it be that rather than you praying that we get 15 more feet of snow, that maybe you just need to pray that the Lord works your attitude out and lets all that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Maybe you just need to pray that he opens the floodgate of that in your life to be able to speak into your family. Is this making any sense to you? You have so much energy built up inside of you. Here's the thing. You ever notice why? How many of you guys have to go to the store 15 times in a week because you always forget something? Nobody. I'm the only one. I'm the only one in 100 people who do it. Lord, help us, spirit of line. Anyway, you ever wonder, I went into Biscuitville this week, and it was right before, last week, right before it snowed, and we had this little lady, and this dude right in front of me was so mean to, how mean you got to be to somebody ordering a biscuit? I walked up to her and said, hey girl, how you doing? I said, you having a good day? And she's like, good, will this be dine-in or carry-out? I said, I'd be dine-in, it's good. I said, you having a blessed day? She said, well, I'm kind of, I said, that's okay. I said, Lord will turn your day around, don't worry about it. I said, now you be safe traveling tomorrow. It's supposed to get a lot of snow and stuff. I said, you be safe. I said, I don't know if you plan on going to church or not, but if you're going, you be careful. She said, I will. And she starts ringing me up. We just chit-chat with her. And finally she got done and she threw her hip out and she goes, can I just say something? You've been so nice to me today. You're like the nicest customer I've had all day. Now, if you know me, encouragement is not necessarily what I'm known for. You know what? I'm more of the Jake style of ministry rather than the Olstein style. Does that make sense? And I sat down at my wife and I said, I did it just like that too. And she's like, don't ever do that again. And I said, you're not going to believe this. She said, what? And I said, I had an opportunity to speak encouragement to a Biscuitville lady today. So maybe I didn't come here to get a biscuit. Maybe the biscuit was just the byproduct. Could it be that maybe your job is just the byproduct? Could it maybe mean that your problem is actually your promise? Does this make any sense to you? Could it be that the Lord created you with more inside of you and that the point of your life is the pursuit of God, not only for yourself but for other people? Check this out. 9 through 13 of this, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted one to another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never lack in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Here's the other problem. Most Christians spend 80% of their life chasing their zeal and losing it. Chasing their zeal and losing it. They're not walking around the walls of Jericho making stuff fall. They're just walking in a circle. Chasing their zeal and losing it. I can give you the spiritual example of this. Anybody ever had a puppy? I love puppies, dude. I mean, like puppies and kids. You know what I'm saying? Put that puppy in the ground. What's that puppy sooner or later going to do? Pete. No. It's going to chase its tail. Well, some Christians, you spend your whole life cleaning up their mess because they can't learn to hold their tongue, their temper, their ego. That's a different topic, though. But you give a puppy enough time, he'll start chasing his tail. When he catches it, he doesn't know what to do with it, and he sits down and he loses it. And then it catches his attention again. And then he starts chasing his tail again. And then sooner or later, he just falls over. Most Christians spend their life trying to chase their zeal and their passion and their pursuit, only to let it wax cold and wear off. And then they begin to fall under conviction, and then they do it, and they spend their whole life going around and around and around and around, and they never get to the point. They're too busy going in circles. You can't get to the point if you go in circles. But Paul writes, and he said this, he said, let us be sure to keep our zeal. If you live in my house, you're going to find out one thing about me. I love dry erase markers. Way more than I should. So it's not uncommon for my wife to wake up. Oh, it drives her batty. And we've got a what is it called? It's a flat thing, got drawers, a mirror on the back. A dresser, thank you. I totally left me. And I know it's horrible, isn't it? And I will start drawing messages out on my wall. If you come to a meeting with me, the first thing I drag out is in my office, I've got a ginormous whiteboard, and we whiteboard stuff for hours. Because I want to see it. I want to map it out. I want to get it in front of me because I can't walk to something that I can't see. Does this make sense? Could it be that on the sticky note on your windshield, on the mirror where you get ready, on the screensaver that you stare at? My wife did one of the most amazing things. We have become, in 2019, we're looking at becoming so passionate and so pointed about what God's called us to. Because here's the thing, you can't lead where you haven't been. So if I want to catch you on fire, I better be blazing. You better be able to see me from outer space. And I looked at Tracy and I was talking about this, and I said, could it be that we need to go with our white dry erase markers or our whiteboards or our sticky notes, and we need to begin to write our point, the thing that God created us to do and be, so that we have to look at it every day? So like if you've struggled all your life with self-worth, maybe you need to go in and you need to write over your mirror that not only are you fearfully made, but ladies, what else are you? You're wonderfully made. And just because he didn't like you doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It could have been his defect. You know why? Because if God never lies, then I'm made wonderfully. I usually got a whole lot more excited about that, because for some of y'all, you were gauging your success or failure based on whatever somebody else said, or the number in the back of your clothing, or by a difficult season of your life. And that's not what God said. You don't live by sight, you live by faith. And faith says that I believe the word of God even when I don't want to believe it. So here's the thing. So could it be that if we put our point in front of us, we'll move towards it? Anybody ever used a GPS and it starts with the two blue dots? And the closer you get, I'm horrible about this. I zoom the map in because I want to see every inch of progress. I believe in celebrating the gap between where I start and where I want to finish. Everything else in the middle is progress. And sometimes progress is three steps forward and two steps back. Sometimes it's three steps back and just holding on to a promise that God made me. Does this make sense to you? My wife got so committed to this, she changed all of her passwords on her phones and on her computers and that kind of thing to be scripture that she's trying to memorize that month. And I'm like, man, what do you do if you forget one? You feel like you've fallen into the trap of the enemy. But two, you're going to remember it, because how many times a day do you type your password into a computer or in a phone? She's like, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you and prosper you, to give you hope and a future. She's like, now I want to go learn. Does this make sense to you? Man, what you're passionate about, you'll find a way to point to. As you point to it, you'll find direction and you'll find opportunity. And life is not about what you gain and what you get. It's about what you impact, because otherwise in two generations, nobody will ever remember who you were. My wife and I went flipping back through scrapbooks of my family. There was some stuff that was given to me when my granddad passed, and there were all these old dudes in pictures with him when they were little. And on the back, it has their names. And my wife looked at me, she goes, so who is that? I don't know. Who is that? I don't know. Who's the one in the middle? Pawpaw. Who's the other one? I don't know. Who's the other guy? I don't know. So I went to the guy who gave me the picture, and I said, who is this? And he goes, well, the one in the middle is your Pawpaw. I said, figured that one. He said, the one on the right, that's, I don't know, Clifford, the big red dog. You know, here's who he is. Here's the other guy. And I said, well, who are the other two guys? He goes, oh, I don't know. He said, I ran into your great aunt, Susie, and she told me who they were, so I wrote them on the back of the picture. So we're at a funeral, so I go to great aunt Susie, and I'm like, hey, great aunt Susie, who are these other two people? And she goes, well, they're just some guys your papa knew. But you know what it caused me to do? It caused me to step back and go, you know what? If I don't live a life that impacts the people that God put me in the generation to live with, in two generations, I'll be nothing but a memory. Does this make sense? Now, that can either be really like your life has no point, dust in the wind kind of moment. Or it can be a moment where you go, you know what, really? The people who matter are the people who are in my life. They're in my circle. And I need to speak into their life with such clarity and such passion that I begin to impact them eternally. Does this make sense? Because if you're not impacting people eternally, what's the point? What's the point of your life if you are not impacting people in their eternal destiny? But if you live your life with that point, now watch everything else that it changes. Anybody ever towed a trailer or a couple of trailers? You got a couple of things hooked together and they start getting a little squirrely on you. The natural tendency is for you to hit the brakes. If you hit the brakes, where's that trailer going? You're going on Mr. Toad's wild ride. No, it's the truth. But if you'll accelerate, the speed of the momentum will begin to straighten out everything else that's behind you. If you will allow the Lord to take your zeal and accelerate your faith towards Him, He'll straighten out everything that you've been letting jerk you around from your past. Does that make sense? So your freedom from your past is actually found in the pursuit of your point. Do you receive that today? Watch this. I'm going to end with this. It says, but be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. It is time for some of us to speed up our zeal for the Lord. Now, this is true whether you're 8 or 80, whether you're 18 or 62, that maybe part of what's missing in our life are not people, but the passion and the point. That maybe God put something inside of you that's so much bigger than what you thought, that if you'll begin to exercise it, you'll see God do things in you and through you that you never thought was possible. Stuff that passions and promises that God made you a long time ago that you gave up on, that you thought He couldn't bring to pass, He'll begin to work out right in front of you, and He'll let you know that His mercies are new for you every day. We do this thing. Whenever we do a big event, we always design invitation cards. You'll have an opportunity on your way out to both doors. We'll have greeters there. We've got them packaged up in little sets of four. So if you want to take these and invite people, I'll show you how cool this is. This is like one of the easiest things you'll ever do. When I decided that I was really going to make a difference in the world around me, we started looking at our business cards for the church. And I said, you know, if we're gonna design a church, we have to be a church that has a point to it. Because if we're going to be like every other church, then you know what? Just go be a part of every other church. I mean, kind of made a point. It made sense to me. But if we're going to be an unordinary church for ordinary people, then we have to do things that are different than everybody else did. So on our regular, my business cards are actually designed for our end user to use. They're designed for our members to use. Because on the back, it's got this big blank white space, and it says you can sit with me, and you can write your name in there, and you can write your phone number in there, so that when you invite somebody to church, you ever invited somebody to church, you got ready to go, and then you're like, your wife looks at you, she's like, well, what was their name? You know, it was that dude that I used to play baseball with, like in the third grade. You know, he's like this tall, brown hair. Goofy mustache, Alan, Alex, Adam, I don't know. Tell you what, let's just stay home. So what we did was we made it so that right before they got out of their car, they could go, Adam, 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 Adam. Hey, Adam, good. Thank you for invite. Makes sense. Here's the other thing we do. Whenever we do an event, we put something in your hand that lets you get to your point. Because remember, we don't try to grow a church just for numbers, because that becomes more like Amway than it does Jesus. What we want to do is effectively affect someone's life. We want to get in there and say, you know what? God loves you. We love you. There's a place where you can come and be loved and be accepted. And we don't need you to be perfect. We just need you to be present. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for authenticity. Make sense? So watch this. This is how easy it is. So I'm checking out at Food Lion, one of my 15 visits there in any given week, because I'm a horrible shopper before then. Bloop. Bloop, bloop. You ever done self-checkout? You know the funny thing about people that you're paying to be near them? They have to be nice to you. You paid them to be nice to you. Like your waiter. He doesn't care if your glass of tea is empty. You know what he cares about? His tip. No, it's true. The cashier doesn't care if you're back. They just want you gone. I used to work in the grocery business. I'm telling you, put it in a bag. You put it in nice, neat bags so that they don't come back and complain. That's the point of all of it. Watch this. Get ready to check out. Hey, we're doing this cool 80s thing. If you'd like to come, we'd love to have you. Boom! That's it. See how intimidating that was? That's scary, crazy. I mean, that's like Paul-level stuff right there. Oh, we can go deep. We can go deep. You can be at your server and leave them a big jacked-up tip. I lost some of y'all right then. You're like, I don't know this English you speak of. I mean, leave them a good tip. You know what I'm talking about? Not like just a tip, but like a right on top. Drop it. You didn't say anything. I'd do anything to lead people to heaven, but will you tip an extra $10? That's good. I don't care where you're from. That's good. You didn't even say anything. You let the greenback do the talking for you because you lay it right on top. Now, if you're going to leave it like a 75-cent tip, will you do me a favor, get a card from a different church and put it on there? Because if you're going to be ugly as you check out and then invite them, just keep that card in your pocket. Now, can I get a witness now? Because you, listen, that waiter, that you go into Walmart and you get ready to lose your mind, just put it back in your pocket. But let me ask you a question. Can you imagine, because remember the scripture talks about you've got many functions, or that there are many functions, but you have one of them, that as you find your way of inviting people to come to know God. I want to take you real quick back to the story. When Jesus talks in Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31, there's a story of a rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man dies and goes to hell, and Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man can see into what, let's just call it heaven. He can see into heaven, and he looks and he says, well, can you dip your finger in some water and quench my thirst, because I'm being tormented? And basically God looks at him and says, I can't do that. And he said, well, will you do me one favor? He said, I've got some brothers. Will you let me go back? Just let me appear to him. You can send me back to hell if you want to, but let me appear to him so that my brothers don't have to come to this place. And Jesus said, you know what? If they don't listen to the prophets, they're not even going to listen to you as a ghost. Now, that doesn't speak to the power of the prophet. It speaks to the power of the passion. That there should be people, that you should be a person who constantly remembers that there's a real hell, and that the only way that you're going to affect that is by giving people an opportunity to learn something different. Can you imagine that waitress that you check out, or the cashier that you check out with, the waitress that serves you? Can you imagine that if that person actually showed up, and you were the one that led them to Christ? Can you imagine on the day of the return of Christ, or at your death when you stand before the Lord? Can you imagine when he says, what did you do? And instead of having to ask for the bread or start making excuses, what if you said, here's what I did. Man, I started out passing out some cards. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was scared out of my mind, so I kind of did it on a DL. I just put a 10 on top and prayed that you did the rest. And then maybe once I got chilled out with that, maybe then I just began to do just a simple, hey, we're doing this cool 80s thing. If you like 80s music, you can come show up. And Lord, over time, I got comfortable with letting you talk through me and speak into other people's lives. And then I got to where I would pray for people and I would pray with people. And I started leading a Bible study at my work. The next thing you know, I was on that Haiti trip. Freaked me out. But about three Haiti trips in, I figured out that the Lord then wanted to. Does this make sense? And that maybe the point of your life isn't what you thought the point of your life was. Do you receive this today? As we come to close, here are really the two questions, because there are two groups of people that I need to speak to with a note that just echoes in the night. But as we come to close, there are really two groups of people that I want to speak to. And I guess the first is probably, I'm going to say, the most important. We got a lot of folks visiting because their kids, their grandkids, their friends, we're all here. And maybe you just came today and you said, you know what, I came because somebody's playing. But maybe the point wasn't for you to come and see them, but maybe God in his infinite wisdom was to get you here so that he could see you. And that you could see him. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, man, I've never accepted Christ. I've just never done that. Or maybe you're on the other half of that where you say, you know what, I accepted God, but I accepted God such a long time ago. Somewhere along the way, I just lost it. I just lost my zeal. I lost my passion. I fell away. The one thing that we built our church on is being a hospital and not a museum. We are all sinners. Paul said this. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said that this. He said, and I, Paul, chief among sinners. He goes on and he writes this. He said, man, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and the very things I want to do are the things that I don't do. He said, man, I'm trying, but I don't always make it. But maybe that for you turned into something where you just walked away from your faith or lost your faith along the way. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around on stage, off stage, in the congregation, just for a moment. If you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you down front, but I do want to give you an opportunity right where you stand just to accept the Lord. If you've never accepted the Lord or you've walked away from the Lord, will you just slip your hand up real quick? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you down. I just want to pray with you real quick. Is there anybody? Okay, great. I'm going to get you to look at me just for a minute. I'm going to work off the assumption that everybody here is where they're supposed to be with the Lord. Here's the second half of this, and to me, this is the most exciting. Will you maybe, just in this moment of time, really look at yourself soberly? And I want you to ask this question. Maybe it's probably not a question you can answer in one day. It may be a question you have to answer over a week or over 2 weeks. But I want you to answer this question. Am I really doing everything that I can to do what I was sent here? Am I on point? Or am I missing my point? Because I think that if you really look at that, man, it'll cause a zeal. It'll cause a fire to come up inside of you that only heaven could put out. Do you receive that today? Will you stand to your feet? Father, as we come to close, Lord, I just ask that in this moment, God, that you just bless your people. God, there is a world out here that we need to affect. God, there are people that we need to reach out to. God, they're going to die and go to hell if we don't. Father, right now, I just ask that you let our lives matter. God, let them make a point. Father, we commit our lives and the function of our lives into your hands. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.